Hey there, it's JMS. I have some road dates coming up for you, and I would love to see you at these live shows. I'm doing a bunch of California stuff the next couple weeks. I will be in Bakersfield Friday, March 21st, and I'll be in San Luis Obispo Thursday, April 10th, April 11th. I'm coming to Pleasanton, California, Tommy T's for the first time ever. So if you're in the Bay Area, if you're in Pleasanton, please, 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 I'm very excited for those shows. Would love, love, love to see you there. And then, very special announcement, I am coming to Alaska at the end of April, beginning of May. I'm hitting a bunch of cities I have never been to. Ketchikan, Juneau, Skagway, Cordova. I'm coming to Fairbanks. I'm going to be in Palmer. I'm hitting a hangar in Dalkeetna. London, I'm coming to Foggy London Town. I don't think any of you guys actually call it that, but holy shit, June 1st, I'm going to be at the Bill Murray, 7:30, maybe 7, 7:30. Plan to be there at 7, doors, and then 7:30, show. It's going to be great. I'm doing an hour in London. Oh my God, I'm excited. So if you're anywhere in the UK, that's the only place I am doing. So London girls trip, guys trip, boys trip, couples trip, come on out. If you're in any of these places, head over to punchup.live/JMS. Get your tickets now. I can't wait to see you. There will be more dates to come. I'm stacking up a whole tour for the fall. If you're hoping I'll come to your city, make sure you join my punchup, punchup.live/JMS, so that you can let me know where you are, first of all, so I know that there's people who definitely want to see me there. And it does that automatically once you sign up. And you'll be the first to know when tickets go on sale, so you get first dibs on all the cool VIP stuff. And guess what? My special's dropping on Punch Up, April 29th. And Anchorage, guess what? If you're listening to this and you're in Anchorage, there's going to be a world premiere at Bear's Tooth the night before. Tickets for that will be available soon, but for now, mark off your calendar for that Monday evening, 8 p.m. Plan to come early. There's going to be a red carpet. We're going to take photos. I'm going to have stand-up from some of my funniest friends. There'll be a Q&A after. And then we're all going to go party. Some of you maybe don't want to do that on a Monday, but for those of you who are Anchorage civilized, which means you'll throw a couple back, we're going to go throw a couple back afterwards. I will have details for that available soon. But in the meantime, find your sitter if you need one and get ready for one heck of a night. I'm so excited for you guys to see this special, all of you. I'm very excited about it. We finally got picture locked. It's in sound now, and I just couldn't be happier. Keep an eye on my social media for all the announcements. You guys are the first to know. So look out for bigger announcements on social media, but get the hell over to punchup.live/JMS and get, I don't know, just fucking get over there. Okay, enjoy this episode.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots! I'm here, and I have my good friend Alex Hoover with me.
Yeah, hi, idiots.
See? Way to get in there. That's what we want. Sometimes people are really jarred by the fact that I call my listeners idiots, but we're all idiots, so
yeah,
whatever. First of all, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. For those who, for some reason, if you don't know, Alex Hoover, incredible comedian, you have Roast Battle, America's Got Talent, but just live. Fucking... You want to see a great live show, go follow Alex, go see him live.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay. I always hate that when I have stand-ups on, I'm like, it's not just going to be about stand-up, and then I make it about stand-up immediately. But
I mean, we can make it about whatever you want, but obviously that's how we know each other.
Yeah.
So how could it not be a little bit?
I just go, I have the exclusive cancer interview. With cancer comedian, cancer survivor.
Yeah, this is the only one. Yeah, we can go through all my traumatic history for the past few years, especially.
Jesus.
You know, start at the beginning of my whole life, you know, just like being born with autoimmune disease and then having that be a front runner for every single thing that I've ever felt and done.
For every conversational point.
Trying to pretend that it doesn't actually exist, which is what every doctor's always told me. Just pretend it's not there. I'm like, cool. You pretend you're not on fire right now.
Your doctors have said, pretend it's not there?
I've had doctors literally look at me and just go, I'm sorry. And I'm like, do I still have to pay for this session to get your apologies?
I will die on the hill of if they can't cure you, if they can't fix it, you should get your money back.
I would love that. I'm like a test case for a lot of them. Like, I'm one of those people where my skin is so, because that's how my autoimmune affects me, is through my skin.
Yeah, obviously. What is your autoimmune?
So my whole life, they said it was eczema. About a year and a half ago, a new doctor told me it's psoriasis. It's not eczema. They did a biopsy, and I'm there like, he's like, actually, it might be both. And I'm like, oh, great.
You know, a lot of times when you have one autoimmune disease, they start coming. You're more likely to get a second one. Good.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, if you had rheumatoid arthritis, there's no reason why you shouldn't have all the other ones as well, right?
Have you tried MS?
And that's why my skin is just like, you know what? We're just going to throw in whatever we want here. No matter what I do, they've never been able to like really figure it out. And so I'm one of those people who they're like, do you mind if I bring in a couple students?
God, you're the
while you're fully naked and just flaking all over my office. I'm like, you know what? I would love that. Disgust as many people as you can today. Yeah.
Do you want to have a bunch of 23-year-olds come in and guess what's wrong with you in front of you?
And then just so you know, they're all going to be really young and attractive. And I'm like, great. Perfect.
Oh, good. Yeah. Could we get more?
It's a very weird thing. But yes, this is the exclusive cancer interview, everyone.
We're in. No one else will be talking about this.
Nope. JMS got it.
I did it. Fuck you. Washington Post? I don't know.
Sure.
But also, they could talk about it too. Fuck. Now I feel like we have to address the elephant in the room.
Sure. I mean, look, I can go right into that. I had stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma. I got diagnosed right after I got married. My wife and I have been together forever. We decided to finally get married so we could start a family.
Did you spend a bunch of money on the wedding?
We spent some money on the wedding. Yeah, we did a destination wedding. So it was actually cheaper to do it in Mexico, where we did it in Puerto Vallarta, than it would have been here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here it's...
Yeah, it was ridiculous what we were looking at here. And honestly, it was great to do a destination wedding. My wife really wanted like a good size wedding. And so we had a little over 60 people down there.
I was going to ask, I feel like you and I are vastly different on the reasons we would do destination weddings. In my mind, even though for more than half the people in my life, wherever I am is going to be a destination wedding, because it's, they're in Alaska, I went to college in Florida, and then here. But in my mind, a destination wedding is to be like, some of you probably can't afford to come here, right? Good.
It does narrow down the list considerably, and it takes away all of the people where you're like, all right, I guess we have to invite this person. But like, everyone that came, we were like, good, we want you to be here because you legitimately want to be here.
Yeah, you are a friend. You're excited about our marriage, about the wedding. You're not just like, ooh, I could get a free plate of chicken.
Or whatever. And this is 2022 April. And so we were still very much coming out of like the COVID stuff where everyone was desperate to take a vacation. Like, we told our friends about this and they were like, yes, fuck yes. Let's all go to Mexico and party our faces off and celebrate you guys. And so it was a huge group trip and it was just great.
Fuck. I mean, the level of partying, there aren't words to describe how Alex Hooper parties.
Well, you also saw me directly after that wedding, because that's when we did Desert Hearts Festival.
We've
been home like a week and a half, and then we went straight to Desert Hearts and did this music festival that I've been doing for years. I bring comedy to them.
It's delightful.
Yeah, and at those times, I party hard. I choose selectively when to do it, so I'm never out of control.
Yeah.
I've never had anyone go, hey, we're really concerned.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that I think of you as a friend who like can I don't even want to say go hard, just like really go balls to the wall with having fun.
Yeah.
And I've never, there are other people that it's like, yeah, that guy probably needs to reel it in, you know, like.
Because I make sure that I'm responsible and my priorities are always in check.
Yeah.
So I would like party till 7 a.m. and then go to my shift at Universal Studios while I was still working a regular job. And it would start at like 7:45 a.m.
You're just on Molly.
I would straight up be like, all right, give me one more line. I got to go to work. My friends would be like, you got to go to work. What are you talking about? Look at you. And I'm like, I can handle it. I have like one sunglass frame falling off my face. And I would show up and give the best fucking guest service of my life because I was just whacked out and cracked. Out.
That's so funny. I mean, honestly, that's who you want. You want a character at the front of Universal Studios. I mean, I don't know what part you worked in.
Yep. But yeah. I was front gate. I sold tickets.
You're like, no, you got to get the VIP tickets. You're going to miss out on that. You're just,
oh yeah,
yacked out of your mind, being like, when you get on Jurassic Park, you're not even going to believe it.
Yeah, that's very accurate. It's like that T-Rex is going to come right at you, and I would just, they'd be like, can we go in the park already? You've been talking to us for 17 minutes.
Yeah. They're like, we've never had someone in that window upsell people before they get in, but somehow he's doing it.
Oh, I did it. All right. But yeah, that's basically it. Is like, I know how to party, but I always pride myself on knowing how to peak, plateau, and then slow cruise down. There, you can't have a bumpy landing. You can't crash. You got to know how to just ride it out. So I would always like get to this level where I'm like, oh, now I'm really fucked up. But I know how to like turn the switch so I can start coming back down again.
If we could be for 1 second like Mel Robbins of Molly, what are some tips? If you had like 3 tips you would give to people who are going out for a big crazy night,
okay,
on how to come down a little smoother and like ease back into life.
The main thing is at some point you need to make sure you don't go too hard too fast, because
that's my problem.
It's a lot of people's problem because when you put it all in front of you, you're like, oh, I could just do like all of this right now. And trust me, I've had those nights when like I'm at a music festival and I'm like, well, if I eat any of the mushrooms, I should probably do Molly so I don't feel the weirdness from the mushrooms. And then I'll do a bump of ketamine just to kind of balance that out.
Trying to do rave science.
I've definitely done that before. And like, especially like when you're putting a lot of different things inside of you that are going to go like up and down. And so a lot of it is don't go too hard too quick and like feel it out, know your timeline, know when you should probably turn it off, but also,
and stick to that probably,
and stick to that. If you're going to do a lot, do it quickly so that it all, so that you're not just going more throughout the night.
I mean, it's compiling. Yeah,
right. You need to actually have like a, like in your mind, like if I stop this here, then I will be able to just go into bed and drift off to sleep. And it's very important just to kind of know your limits. It really is. And that's why I've always been responsible in the way I party.
Yeah.
And I've always been able to, I've never like called in sick for work because I got too fucked up or something like that. I've never missed a show or showed up late. I would never walk onto stage fucked up unless that was the theme of a show.
Of the show, yeah.
I would never, I respect, somebody once said, I was doing that show Performing Under the Influence. Do you remember that show?
Yes.
So that's a show where you have to take your drug of choice. You do a set sober, then you go take your drug of choice. You come back fucked up. And when I did that show, everyone on the show was like, dude, what are you doing for this? And I was like, I'm just going to smoke a joint. And they were like, what?
Boo!
You're not going to do harder drugs? And I was like, no, I respect drugs too much to perform on them. And somebody went, don't you mean you respect comedy?
And,
I was like, no.
Absolutely,
I know what I said.
Not.
I respect the drugs that I'm on to not have to perform for you while I'm tripping.
I'm not going to ruin my drug experience with comedy.
100% I'm not. I can't believe when people are like, well, I'd be at open mics at like a coffee shop. Somebody's like, dude, you want to take some mushrooms? I'm like, fuck no.
No, this is already, I don't need an existential crisis in this coffee shop in East LA.
No, definitely not. I'm a tribal cafe.
Yeah, literally is what I was picturing. I was like, it's gotta be tribal cafe.
Yeah, no, thank you. So partying is all about just knowing your limits, pushing your limits a little bit every now and then, because I am in the
that's not a beginner thing probably. That's like,
no,
but
I'm in the mode of like psychedelics are my drug of choice, and I'm in the mode where the mentality where you should get a little bit scared at some point. You should there should always be a moment where you go, should I have done this?
Well, oh, we are so different in that, but that That makes total sense. You're like, yeah, I want to be on the edge of existence.
Yeah, no, for sure. I want that feeling of, am I going to come back from this? Was this a smart idea? Oh my God, have I made the right choices in my life? How did I get here right now? There's got to be something better I could be doing. I need to have that for at least a few minutes.
And then you're like, God, there you are.
And there he is. Or she is. It's probably, I think, if God is anything, it's a pug. So. What probably. If, right?
I mean, imagine you get up there just... Okay, yeah, no, I guess I could have done some things differently. You're right. That's so funny. There needs to be, like, party-suticles where people show up at these big, like, outdoor or indoor just rave events, and there's a guy who can be like, you need to take this within this amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, I do love that there's like a lot of those raves will have like Dance Safe and stuff like that, which is literally a company that will test your drugs without judgment just to make sure that you are not taking something that's been laced.
Oh, that's thank fucking God.
Right? And that's just so important because you can't turn it off. You have a 30,000 person event that's only playing electronic music with like fucking strobe lights.
You're not going to see the person in the middle ODing.
No. And I've definitely seen people have go way too far on shit. And that's a very scary thing. I mean, I've had a guy pass out in front of me once. He just literally fell to the ground. And I immediately, like, I was tripping, but I got down, like, put my Camelback straw in his mouth. And I was like, suck, 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 suck. And brought this guy like back to life.
Suck, suck, suck.
Yeah, every time like, suck.
And he gets back up and starts doing the robot. That's so wild when you're tripping and you're like, I have to help.
Oh, yeah. When you have to turn off tripping brain to go, wait a minute, this is a real emergency. Hang on a second. Climb out of it.
I cannot imagine being in a scenario if I was like peeking on mushrooms or someone needed help. I would be like, good luck.
It's okay to walk away in that situation, though. Like, yeah. Honestly, if you know you can't be of assistance.
I'm going to hurt more than I'm going to help.
You're in a group setting like that. Yeah, walk away. That's fine.
Yeah. I can't even help someone through their anxieties when I'm the last time I did mushrooms, someone sat down next to me and they were on shrooms, but they were definitely having like a figuring out who they are type of trip, and I was just nearly dead. I think I was just with God. They were talking and I realized they were talking and I looked over and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm time traveling right now.
Yeah. That's why I don't want
you to think I'm ignoring you, but I can't hear you.
And that's very fair. I don't always want to be around other people. I like tripping by myself a lot. Like, I will do it in group settings, but I really like taking psychedelics on my own where I don't have to worry about anyone except moi.
Have you done it fully on your own?
Oh, yeah. Many times.
Do you ever worry about... Because I really feel like from a spiritual and just growth standpoint, I could really benefit from like going alone and just taking a big old dose of shrooms. But the like anxious Jew in me is like, what if something goes wrong and there's no one to help you?
Well, you got to take the drugs that you already know.
No, you can't try something new.
Right. You're not trying something new. So every year for about 8 years in a row, I did what I called Alex's introspective Christmas. Before my wife and I were married, she would go back to Ohio to visit her family during Christmas. I would stay and watch our dogs. And so,
what perfect
and
then, time for introspection, by the way. The holidays, it's the best.
The best time. And so I would just start. I started doing it where every year I would take a heroic dose of psychedelics by myself with my pugs. And I would just sit and I would just be in my apartment, like listening to music, no TV or anything, but just music and just my thoughts and just go wherever I need. And there would always be a point where it's like, I shouldn't have done this. This was a mistake. This was awful. I'm scared. I don't know what's happening. I feel weird. But then I would get to that point where I would be like, oh, perfect. Now I can look to the future, be proud of myself for what I've done thus far, and see where else do I want to go, like, for next year. So I would do it like on Christmas Eve or Christmas.
Oh, like right before the new year.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it helps you, like, you maybe go through the anxieties of, like, these choices, why do I do this, do that, but then you usually hit a point where you can let go of that?
Oh, of course. Yeah, you have to hit that
point. Where you also just realize, like, it doesn't matter.
There's a breakthrough in a good period. Way. Yes, there's a breakthrough period where I will inevitably start crying. My purge is always crying.
I'm purging almost daily.
I'm a person who, if I meditate every day, if I could change my 20 minutes of meditation to 20 minutes of pure crying, I would, first of all, my skin would be better. And
or you would be so dehydrated.
I don't think it's going to get much more dehydrated than it already is.
I do look better after a good cry. It's weird.
Most people
like
do.
When the swelling wears off, I'm like, it's like shedding a layer.
Yeah. And then you feel like you got rid of something. And then also it's just like therapeutic, like good, deep crying is so nice. And if you could just cry before you left the house, you're like, if I could, what are you talking about?
I don't leave that. I'm like how men will jerk off before a date. That's me going in public. I'm like,
gotta get ready.
Time to go to a show.
Here come the streams. Yeah. I love that. And so I think if you can get over like the fear of tripping by yourself, and that's why I don't go to the middle of the woods like a lot of people would do it. Like,
see, that's also what I want to do is like, but maybe that's better to be home and be.
I want my comforts just in case if I'm going to trip like that. Now, I've tripped plenty of times in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
But by yourself, there's just something about it where I'm like, no, because that's the last story that I ever want somebody to have to hear about me is like, oh, yeah.
He's in the woods.
Yeah, sorry. He didn't, you know, he climbed a tree because he was tripping too hard and just then a branch broke and whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need that shit.
Yeah. So, I think I need to wait till I have some type of yard. I like to be outdoors.
Outdoors is nice. I always have to have some outdoor time, but the main bulk of it was in my apartment.
Just on your couch chilling with the pugs.
Yeah, like I used to start by going to Runyon, and then like I would like, so I'd take whatever I was taking, acid mushrooms, whatever, go to Runyon. And by the time I got home, I'd start tripping basically like when I got to the top. By the time I got home, because I can walk there, it would be like, oh, now I'm really fucking going. Yeah. And then my friends heard about this eventually after like 3 or 4 years of doing it. They were like, Alex, this is really sad. Like that you're doing, having spending Christmas by yourself. And then a couple of them were like,
why do
no,
people make
not.
That sad?
No, that's the thing. And they were like, and then a couple of my other friends were like, no, it's not. It's what a great way to spend Christmas. Like, and I was like, and then they were like, can we come? And so the next year, like 5 people came.
You did a family Christmas.
And we had, and it was not just Alex's introspective Christmas anymore. And the next year, a lot of people came, like all my LA friends that stayed here that are in like my massive friend group came, and there were like 20 people tripping in my one bedroom apartment in West Hollywood. And I was like, guys, the point of Alex's introspective Christmas is that it's Alex's.
I was just going to ask if you were like, yeah, this was supposed to be alone. This was always.
Yeah, because you got people in the corner doing ketamine. I'm smoking DMT in my bedroom. This is not the point of this.
You're like, I'm not getting the introspection I need.
Yeah.
God. Okay, wait. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
We are back after hours of introspection. So I want to back up a little.
Yes, back up.
Beep, 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 beep. First of all, I don't know if you have a joke about this, but you look like you do drugs.
Yeah.
Everyone watching, no, everyone's like, yeah, I've been thinking that the whole time. Was there any part of you, because you've had your, you mentioned you've had your autoimmune disease your whole life.
Yeah.
Did people assume that you did drugs before you did drugs?
Yeah, definitely. But I started doing drugs pretty early. Like I started smoking pot at like 14. I did my first eighth of mushrooms at 16.
Have you ever met someone who like didn't drink or do drugs till college and it's like mind boggling?
Yeah. It's, well, I mean, I know people that still didn't do it till after college and they're like, yeah, it wasn't just for me. And then I'm like, well, what change? Like, also, like, that's your time to experiment. Like, don't start doing it in your 40s.
Yeah, that's what it's like. I've never done coke because I've always just been like, I'm so annoying after a
it's
cup
the
of
worst
coffee.
One. You don't need it.
I'm coming up with businesses. I don't think this is, you're the first guest I've had thus far this year that I haven't come up with an idea for a second podcast we should do together.
Like, well, it's still early.
It'll happen. But I'm like, I don't need something to help me come up with more business ideas.
Right. But, and that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, I completely forgot what I was...
You asked me if I was doing... If I had ever...
Oh, like, yeah, just... I was like, it's too late for me. Like, when people start doing things in there, I'm like, I'm not going to try it now, you know? But when... I mean, it always boggles my mind. People... I don't know. It's not... I guess it's not weird to be a late bloomer, but I'm like, you didn't have access to this? You didn't like think about it?
If you're gonna be a late bloomer, psychedelics are definitely the way to be a late bloomer.
Yeah,
like don't be the fucking
meth like, bloomer.
Yeah,
you're 50, you're just like huffing out of a light bulb.
Yeah, it's just PCP in your 50s. No thanks. Like I don't want to know your story.
Never drank a drop, but then real into heroin.
Yeah, you know, why not just go all the way there if you're gonna go? Like, but yeah, no, I think I started early because I genuinely was curious, but also trying to escape my own reality existence, my pain, my discomfort. Yeah. I was always like trying to like run away from like my autoimmune shit, like yeah. That like making me feel like I was less than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally just being in pain all the time, which I know, you know, like it's just when doctors are like,
crazy.
It makes you insane. And also even when you're having a great day, then the slightest trigger can turn on and suddenly you're like having an awful time and it's the worst. And so I would always use drugs to like, my rule with drugs was I can't take them because I'm sad, I'm angry, or anything.
You can't
like
be
that.
Like to cope with a heavy emotion.
Never. My drugs are smart. Make an already fun situation more fun. Like there's a great line on Simpsons where Otto is watching a meteor shower and he goes, I don't even need drugs to enjoy this, just to enhance it. And I'm like, yes, that is my exact sentiment about how I feel about drugs.
I love that. Have you ever found with the autoimmune stuff, are there drugs that do trigger anything that you've had to go like, oh, fuck?
Alcohol definitely does. Like I barely drink anymore because alcohol will feel good at the time, but 3 days later, my skin will be fucked. It will be so dry. It will be tight. It will be cracking. It will just be like, it is so painful.
Way.
Yeah. And so at this point, I'm like, I don't need alcohol anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think I
ever needed it. I think it was like, it's that's what's so crazy is that I'm like, it was such a social. I really like to think of myself as someone who's like, I don't give in to peer pressure, but I'm like, yeah, I really was kind of just doing it because everyone else was, though. Mm. And I think, do you have this where I drank a lot in college? And looking back, there's a part of me that is like, I think I drank more so that I could be like, I was just drunk, when really it's like, I would have done that anyway.
It does kind of give you this excuse, and it's an excuse that I never accepted because I always said like that. No, you can't say I was just drinking. It's like, no, that's your real self coming out.
Oh yeah, when people get mean when they're drunk, I'm like, you are just holding on to anger in your sober life.
I would get sloppy. Like, I would just get to the point where I was way too in love with you and trying to talk to you much and getting too close to you. And I was that type of drunk. So I was the annoying drunk, not because I would get in a bad mood or get like, you know, just like sad or gross. I would get louder and
relatable.
You've known me long enough that I think I've calmed down a lot over the years. In my very early years of comedy, I was a straight screamer.
I've never heard someone go, I like Hooper, but I just wish he was a little bit louder.
Yeah. Really just a little too reserved.
Yeah.
You know?
If he could really like, you know, get some more energy up there. Jokes are great. Terrible energy. So low.
Yep. Yeah, that's my problem. That's my number one hater comment on the internet is like, why are you doing so much? It's like, I'm having fun. I'm performing.
Get out of here. I hate that. I definitely went through a phase, and I think it does affect like a lot of comics. And some people are just, I guess I'll call it chill, lower energy. But I definitely went through a period where I was like holding back, trying to just. And I think there's a merit to it in the development of jokes, just trying to be too cool.
Yes.
Where it's like, that's not who I am. I'm loud. I'm crazy. I'm bouncing around. Why am I being like I'm a philosophical?
And there's room for everybody. Like there's other people that are going to love you for that. Yeah. And if you suddenly calm down,
they're like, who are you?
What happened here?
Yeah.
And I've watched you a lot over the past 10, 12 years.
Same.
And I think we've both learned to play with dynamics a lot.
Yes.
So I know how to go very slow and quiet before I ramp up again. And I think if I will say this kind of happened to me. It's how I felt in the past couple of years. I do think the sickness that I went through, the cancer, the sepsis, all the shit.
Jesus.
Like, yeah, sepsis was real bad.
We're going to get into it. You're not getting away from it.
Yeah, that was my 33 days in the hospital, which is like super fun.
God.
33 days straight in an East Hollywood hospital where homeless people go to scream. And
a great lullaby.
It really did change how I did comedy, though, because I was watching a lot of old stuff recently, and I was like, man, I'm really, really going all over the place with like my energy and my stories and all this other shit. And I think that kind of did bring a seriousness to my comedy that I don't necessarily like. I've accepted it for the time being.
Yeah.
But now I'm watching older stuff going, I need to get super silly and fucking that sense of weird again where no one is going to anticipate what I'm going to do.
Yeah. It's like, how do I tap back into my natural, like, light silliness?
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, even outside of comedy, I think it's easy for, like, that happens to all of us. Life piles these things on where, like, I spent so much time identifying with my depression that I thought I was, like, a gloomy person. And as I was doing work and, like, trying to figure out my own trauma, I realized, like, no, actually, before life took a fat shit on me, I was an extreme, I was an obnoxiously happy person. Like, realize, like, remembering who you are at your core and going, like, okay, how can I channel, at least get back some of that in an organic way?
Right. And I mean, and there's a lot of things where I look at it where, okay, I had to change a little bit in
that
time.
You had to survive.
I had to survive.
Imagine
also,
being, sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Just
please,
imagine you trying
it.
To be kooky as you're like, in a hospital?
Well, honestly, when I first got diagnosed, I was like, I'm going to show up to chemo wearing my America's Got Talent unitard in my tail, and I'm going to walk into that chemo ward flipping my tail. I literally had that thought.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I will be the worst fucking person. Like, this is a group setting.
Oh my God. Imagine going through chemo and there's someone trying...
Ooh, are they putting more drugs inside my tube?
People just unhook. They're like, let it take me.
Yeah. I was just like, so I had to, you can't, if you're talking about stuff like cancer and sepsis and things like that, you can't just be literally like, wah!
You can't be kooky. You're like climbing on the walls being like, it's gonna get me.
Yeah. And I still have those moments, but now like I'm allowing myself to change because also I've never been a person that you could just like throw into a box and say, this is what he is.
Same.
Which is honestly,
sometimes
What were you going to say?
I often, in terms of my career, wish I could figure out any box I could go in. Yes. Hollywood loves 100%. Someone they can put in a box.
Right.
And they go, you're the this and this. No, there are no boxes.
No, I thought after I did Roast Battle on Comedy Central that like agents and managers would be coming for me like in droves. Like I would have to be beating them away with sticks because I was the only person playing a game this way.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody else was coming in and doing their normal shtick. And I was like, well, watch what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I think people saw that and they were like, I don't know what the fuck to do with that.
They're like, ah!
And
it's a duck-billed platypus of comedy. They're like,
yes, I am. I'm an amalgamation of all these different things that shouldn't be together.
Same.
And I formed this creature that has its own brilliance and beauty, but also a lot of people are going to be like, I don't fucking like that thing. That is weird and it turns me off.
Well, I mean, I think that's like life in a nutshell. People see something that's so different than what they know and they go, no. Nope. And that happens like daily with human interactions or like people. I mean, that was originally like the core of this podcast was originally it was much more, I don't want to say serious interviews, but it was like, what's your walk of life? I'm going to ask you all the stupid questions about it. Like,
sure.
Muslim, you know, like, what does that mean?
Muslim.
But it was for the people who like, well, I just never seen anything like that. And I don't know. It's just so different. What do you mean you don't believe in Jesus or whatever, you know? But we do it all the time or people do, even if it's subconscious. And I agree with you. As I'm editing my special, I know you have a special coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I drive my boyfriend, Nate, up the fucking wall with every, like, it comes up probably once a month where somehow I'll be like, but what's my thing? What is my thing? And he's like, you don't need a thing. And even he the other day was like, I'm like, well, this person's like this, and they do this kind of comedy. And he's like, yeah, you kind of have this like amalgamation of all of it. And it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And that's why when at the beginning she said, you have to see him live. And that is 100% true. Because you don't like what I do, what you've seen on TV or on the internet or whatever, I am such a different experience, as most people are,
most
when you see
are.
Them on stage and in the room. And you'll realize that I'm actually a very kind, empathetic, soulful person.
Yeah.
Who just thrives on silliness and punchline after punchline after punchline in these large stories and bits where most people will walk out of my show if they didn't know who I was, which is still most people I get on the like in
oh,
a comic
yeah, no,
club.
I'm
selling a few tickets, but like 90% of them are there because they're just
comedy show.
It's a comedy show.
Yeah, no, I know that feeling. That's...
Your tickets were discounted more discounted than everybody else. I'm like, great.
I mean, I've been places where I went recently to a place where like and everywhere I go, it's like I'm grateful that more and more it's people are coming for me, but it's still the same thing.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I had people like maybe the most recent place I was on the road. Someone was like, yeah, you know, we love coming here. But if you wait till right before the show, they always knock the price down. And I'm like, oh, your email list, your audience is on to you. And so no one's ever going to sell early because they're going to go, we'll just wait.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I was like, okay, well, thanks for coming. But yeah, no, same thing. We're we make fans, I think. I mean, we, you know, obviously we're all still using social media, but I imagine you're a lot like me where it's the old school way where
100%.
You came to a show and then you became a fan of me specifically because you came to a show that I happened to be doing.
Yeah, well, I've had to prove myself a lot because people would come to a show knowing who I was on America's Got Talent, which is
and expecting that,
which is a character. People would be like, where's the tail? Where's the unitard? And I'm like, I'm still wearing kimonos and shit on stage.
Yeah,
I
you're like, I was
style.
Being absurd for that show.
Yeah, I was hired to do a very specific thing that I was very happy to do. It was it is me in there.
Yeah.
But that's not what I want to do for an hour. And then I would have to kind of show people that I'm a more traditional stand-up comedian who has my own style, obviously.
Of course.
But then people go, oh, most people went, that was a lot better. And I'm like, right.
Yeah, than me being a weird raccoon for 90 seconds?
Yeah, for sure.
Can you imagine?
A multisexual forest creature is not sustainable for an 80-minute show.
I know. But it's also like, it's always better. Well, I don't want to say always. There are people who probably maybe blow up off a couple clips aren't ready, and it's not better. And that's no shade. It's just their people are getting put out before they're ready to do a headlining show. But I would say 90% of the time, whatever you see on social media, like, it's gonna be better in the room. It's always better.
Always better. Always the it's the energy. It's listening. It's seeing a song you love live, like verse, and you get attached to a song that you've only heard. But when you see it live, it's forever connected to you in a different way.
Yeah.
Where I still have moments when like a song will come on and I remember exactly where I was, like sitting at the Hollywood Bowl when it came, and I was like, there it is. And then the feeling will just come back.
Yeah. Every time I hear Reba. Think about how I blacked out at a Reba concert at the Hollywood Bowl.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I was in good seats too. Got hooked up by a friend at Live Nation who's like, I got these seats and I have no interest in seeing Reba. And I'm like, well, it just so happens I'm obsessed with her.
There you go. Take advantage.
Yeah. And then, by the way, at the end of the concert, I looked over and Lance Bass was there.
And I was Lance Bass.
Bass.
By the
it's
way.
Lance Bass.
It's Bass. Yeah, I know.
I don't know what it is.
It's
Lance Bass.
Sure it's Bass.
No, it is Bass.
It's not Bass.
It's not Bass.
Lance Bass. Bass.
And I loved the Backstreet Boys. Was he in Backstreet Boys? He was NSYNC. I loved all of them. I'm gonna
NSYNC.
Don't come for me. Oh my God! I think I have dementia. Anyways, I looked over and I was like, it's Lance from NSYNC, everyone. And then I ran out.
And then he was like, I'm going to space.
He's like, God damn it! Everyone was like, oh my God. And then
whoops.
Stumbled out. Anyways, we're gonna take a quick break and then we're gonna talk more to Alex. We're back. Okay, listen, I don't know, no one heard that. Yeah, the whole thing explodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, okay, fuck, there's so much swirling in my ADHD brain that,
well,
I want to ask you about.
We've touched on many things.
Yes.
You know, we've touched on psychedelics, comedy, illnesses. And that's the thing. You can't put me in a box.
No.
Just like yourself. And people try to pin me into a thing and they're like, oh, but that's not really you, is it? And I'm like, no, because I just pick up and collect.
Oh, and we're growing.
Pieces.
And it's like you're constantly. And the thing is, in the long run, in like, I think that I know that it's a good thing to keep growing and evolving. Do you ever get scared with evolving, both in comedy, but also like just in who you are? Now I'm just admitting my own things by pretending these are random questions. here's a crazy thought. I think in the last few years, and I've come out of it, but I think there was like a post-COVID thing. Leading up to COVID, I think I was really having this like spiritual growth and like finding myself and just sort of undoing another layer. And I do think I like kind of regressed. Like there was this sort of fear of not fitting in with my friends anymore or not, or being like too, I don't know, weird. Do you ever worry that growth will isolate you?
I think it's a valid concern because, well, if people know you as one thing and then you ascend to another place.
People want the thing that you are, that they know you as.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And only the people that truly love you, know you, and want the best for you will see that you are growing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, you mentioned like Mel Robbins earlier. Like, that's a person like the Mel Robbins, Brene Browns would be like, no, no, no. Your friends need to see that you're going to this new place and be happy for you and try to meet you here.
And if they aren't, then
keeping you down here.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I go through that all the time because I thought I had really, like, I spent my first 20 years of my life super fucking depressed, angry, mad at the world. And then I kind of spent all this energy to come out of that place.
Yeah.
And I did so much self-work, so much self-care. And in the past couple of years, because of all the shit that's happened to me, it started to peek its head around again.
Oh,
and
yeah. I mean, it's heavy.
I'm trying. And that's why I'm like, I do want to grow and I do want to be like always comfortable with myself. But I also want to keep that boyish like innocence and just
joy.
Naivete, the joy for sure, that's just curious and silly and always wants to be have fun. And I don't ever want that part to turn off.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of moments in the past couple of years where I've had to be like, fuck, am I like losing the core of who I am? Am I going to really let this like cancer and this, all these like this, you know, there's so much more. There's infertility and other shit. There's so much shit that, am I going to let that take away, strip me of all the work that I've done?
Yeah.
No, like I can't do that. And I mean, even sometimes there are times when I still like get a little depressed or whatever. And I'm like, climb out.
Out. Yeah. Like feel it's okay it? To fall back. It's yes. okay to, but catching it and realizing it.
Yes. Feel whatever you need to feel right now. Don't deny that it's happening.
But don't cling to that feeling. Don't let it become who you are.
Exactly. And yesterday I felt myself in a really shitty mood because my skin was fucking up a little bit. And so I felt a little uncomfortable. And so this morning I was like, Alex, you're not leading with that energy today. And I woke up and took a fucking cold shower, immediately meditated afterwards, started drinking coffee. And I was like, today, it's not going to be that. So
dude,
let's go.
I love when the day starts on a like, we're fucking doing it.
Well, so I don't, you know, we haven't talked about this yet. We mentioned psychedelics, but in October of this past year, I went to Peru by myself to do ayahuasca. And I went, and when I say by myself, not only did I go by myself, but I was at this center by myself.
It was just you?
It was just me.
Was it supposed to be like that? Or is it just like no one was doing a session then?
So I went to this, I found this person online. Actually, she found me because I put it in a group that I was looking for, what I was looking for.
I'm interested. I'll
tell you about it. But because I know you've done, like you did the silent retreat and stuff.
Yeah, which is psychedelics without psychedelics.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 days of silence.
10 days of silence, the darkness retreats, anything that takes you, that forces you out of yourself and makes you confront
everything. Because eventually all of the menial things that I spend all day, these little fucking tasks that keep me being a workaholic, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Eventually you run out of those to fucking be like, and this and that and this, and you go, oh no, it's me. Now I see me.
Yeah.
Oh, and there are sides of me that are not as pretty as I wish that they were. Uh-oh, I have some things I gotta work on.
I tell people, like, I'm like, are you, they're like, I wanna do that. I'm like, are you ready to face the worst parts of yourself?
Yeah.
Because you're gonna have to, and you're gonna learn a lot. It's just gonna be you against you in a dark little closet, and you have to hope that you don't really fucking hate yourself afterwards.
Yeah, because it's either you come back and you go, time to change, or you just fucking, I guess, white knuckle and go, I'm going to pretend I didn't see that and keep being a piece of shit.
That's the beauty of psychedelics by yourself, by the way. It's the same thing as that. As a silent retreat where you go, there's no hiding anymore.
Yeah.
There's no masking whatever's happening. So I went, this person found me. She's a psychologist in Peru. She just opened a center recently. She's like, I never have more than 8 people a month. So I think I'm, if you want, everyone else that reached out to me was a resort. They were like, we have a pool. We have down comforters. We have mosquito nets. We have this. We have this. And I'm like,
I want to shake in the wilderness.
That's exactly what I wanted. And this woman was like, if you want to heal, and it sounds like you do, I got you. And there was supposed to be one other person there at this. It was in the jungle,
turns
in
out
the mountains.
They didn't want to heal.
They decided to trip by themselves the day before we were supposed to go to this center. And so they never showed up because they got sick. And they were an idiot. I'll just say it. That was not a good decision on their part. But that meant that I was at the center
with my
own shaman, my own psychologist, and my own yoga and meditation teacher.
I mean, that's
amazing.
That's
amazing.
Incredible.
And no phone, no escape whatsoever, because I am deep in the jungle of the mountains. So like, there's nowhere
to
go.
It's you and the guinea pigs.
There were a lot of guinea pigs down there. There's a lot. I mean, just it was such an amazing experience. But I did ayahuasca 4 out of 5 nights. And every night.
Oh, you do it multiple nights. I haven't done ayahuasca yet. I want it to be the right setting. And I just feel like half the people I talk to, I mean, I hate being like, well, I don't want you to be there.
Right. No. That's
I don't want to be around you.
But that's legitimate. The first time I did it, there were like 25 people
there. I'm too
there.
Codependent. I can't. I'll be.
Yeah.
Are you guys okay?
Oh, I mean, exactly. Like, the first time I did it, I'm literally listening to a guy next to me puke into his bucket, and he's literally going, guilt, bleh, shame, bleh.
Oh,
and I'm, like,
for
trying
God's
to psych
sake.
The shit out of me. So this time, not only am I in its native land of the medicine, but I am 100% by myself. There is nowhere to go. Everyone here only speaks Spanish except the psychologist that like ran the place.
Damn.
And so I straight up went down there and I was like, I'm going to do work on myself because I was at the end of my rope, Jess. I was seriously at the point where I told my wife, like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but everything that has happened, I don't have a belief in myself anymore. And the only way I can get it back that I can think of is ayahuasca is calling me right now.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, all right, but you better figure your shit out down there. Like,
yeah, or you better stay in the fucking mountains if it doesn't work.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, there's a lot of people in this world, they're, even if they're in a very great relationship, if you told your wife, like, hey, listen, the only answer for me is to go to Peru and do this ancient medicine, they'd be like, or you can get a fucking job.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about you find yourself a 9-to-5? How about that? How about you find yourself in a fucking office.
Right. And my, yeah, that's which would have been legitimate.
Yeah.
I would have been like, you're right. You're right. But my wife understands the power of psychedelic drugs. She's never done ayahuasca, but she understood that where I was in my life, that I was not the person that I used to be.
Yeah.
So what can I do to get it back?
Yeah.
And on days like yesterday when I was feeling depressed, I have to go back to that space when I was in that little hut with a tin roof, just tripping balls, feeling like I'd never been more free or confident or in love with myself in my entire life.
Wow.
It really, like, I thought, like, you know me. I preach love and happiness and positivity all the time. I wrote a fucking book about it. I'm annoying as shit with positivity.
He's, by the way, like... You are so positive that there's moments my fucking skeptic wants to be negative ass will be like, he's lying.
Yeah.
He's going to, one day, Hooper's going to crack. We're all going to be like, what happened? And you're going to be like, I never liked any of you. I hate this. I don't even enjoy comedy. Yeah. No, you're just so like, and then you'll like pop up. Like one of your fucking happy things will pop up and I go, damn, the man is just allowing himself to be happy. And it's a lot of your posts remind me to be like, hey, it's okay to be happy because we're also surrounded by a variety of personalities in comedy. But some of them are the most negative and insidious. Just and I get
a lot of curmudgeons.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to chase your dreams, especially in something artistic. This town fucking loves to chip away at a spirit.
Oh, man.
People
doesn't ever
feel that, like, there's a scarcity thing. Like, there's only enough spots. There's only, but it's like, at the end of the day, no regular person is ever going to go, I've left enough.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, there's room for all of us to find all of our audiences, but I have an issue absorbing people's emotions. So I've had to really work on like people who I love and I know they're good people, but if they're too negative, I'm like, I gotta not spend as much time with you because it like crushes me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I can be empathic in that way too, where I'll take on whatever you're feeling and that's not fair. And what I learned
now is, I'm having a flare up because of your problems.
Yeah, exactly. My skin's gonna get shitty. Like you're suddenly gonna have pain in your fingers because this person's being an
asshole. Because you can't handle rejection. Yeah. Sorry. What have you learned?
But basically what I learned is that I preach all this shit, but I was preaching it without truly feeling a lot of it because I did love myself, but it was very conditional. I loved parts of myself and I had to learn how to love my autoimmune disease because that is a part of me, how I am not fighting or battling against myself. I had to learn that I trust myself and that this is me and this is the way I'm supposed to be. And there isn't room for me to just say, well, I don't like this part and this part, so I'm going to put these parts in a box and then everything else I'm going to like.
There's no box.
It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And I never felt this feeling before. I thought I was levitating in there because I was so fucking just, all of a sudden, I felt chains break. And I was like, whoa, this is everything I wanted to happen down here.
Yeah.
And then so I spent 5 days with this family in the mountains in the jungle, and then I got to go to Machu Picchu, and like, and then I was standing on top of Machu Picchu, which, by the way, again, by myself, I had a private guide that the center set up for me because nobody else was joining that day. Fucking insane. Everything was just for me. And this, and I was literally standing at Machu Picchu by myself, looking over the whole thing, feeling like I could do absolutely anything. So anytime I get into a depressed state now, I go, hang on. Go back to the hut. Go back to the hut.
He's fine. He's just reliving an experience.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, well, sir, did you want to order or what? You're kind of sitting at a restaurant right now.
Yeah, you're standing at the Chipotle counter. Go back to the hut. They're like, dude,
black
you, what, which
or
rice?
Pinto yeah. beans.
I'm just going to do that with the rice. Brown or white?
Yeah. So we, like, you know, you are a person who has also done a lot of scary, challenging shit for yourself in search of the best version of you.
Yes.
And I think that's so important to not be afraid to do the work, to look at yourself and know. And like, I'm totally fine if people don't like me. I've always been fine with that.
Yeah.
Even though I am endlessly a little boy that's seeking validation and love.
Of course.
Always.
Of course.
But if I'm not your flavor, that's just fine.
It's so great to get to that point.
Oh my God, is it great? Because yeah. there's always going to be people that do like you. Now, sometimes if there's way too many people at the same time saying no to you, you're like,
it does feel like, yeah, nobody likes me when you get too many no's in a row at once.
I mean, I've been in that place for a few weeks now where I had like no, I was on the road a little bit in February and then I had like nothing.
Oh, when I run out of road dates, if there's not something in the future, it doesn't matter. Like, what else is going? There is a part of me that goes, I have failed.
Yeah.
And well, I have to go, no.
It's hard because you and I, there it is. Do you need to do the break?
No, let's keep, let's fucking, well, no, you know what? Let us take one more break and then we're going to come back and talk about why it's hard and then, oh, and whatever else.
Yeah.
We are back. And, oh, I mean, sorry, we were talking about how hard it is.
Yeah, so here's the point I was about to make, is that you and I have been doing this a long time and have reached a level where, and a comedy booker and club GM said this to me recently, he goes, Alex, do you know you're in the 1% of comedy? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you're a national headliner.
Yeah.
You are in the 1%. Most people will never get to where you are.
I have to remind myself of this regularly.
Because you know what the problem is? Why we have to tell ourselves this is because there is a 1% of
the
1% that has 99% of the fucking money of the 1%.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's like, you look at the biggest people and it's like, of course, we would all love to be that. But like, if that's what you're pitting whether or not you are successful against, if you're going like, well, I'm not selling out arenas, I'm a failure, that's crazy. But we do that. It's, I always say that, well, not always, but frankly, when I'm being negative, I'm at the bottom of the top.
Yes. And you know what? Being at the bottom of a totem pole is not a bad place to be because everyone else is relying on you.
Yeah.
So it's not.
That's such a great way to look at it. Yeah. But it's like, I have to remind myself at times to most people pursuing comedy out there, they would look at what I'm doing going, that's fucking cool.
100%.
To me, 10 years ago, I'd be like, you're doing what?
Yeah.
That's, you fucking where? You're, what club? That's amazing. But it's just so, when you're in it.
It's hard to see you. And that's the biggest lesson I've learned for myself over the past, like, probably 10 years, is anytime I'm really down or not feeling like I'm doing a good job, I have to step out of myself mm-hmm. and go, wait a minute. Like, look at the things you've done and look at what you get to do. Look at the friends, the life you've built for yourself
yes.
is so much better and greater than anything I ever could have imagined.
Yeah.
So even at times when people are saying no, or I feel like I couldn't eat at a fucking free buffet right now, I still am happy that I get to, well, they're letting me in the restaurant, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll watch others eat for a little while. That's okay.
Yeah, that it's like, oh, I'm where I want to be and I'm on the way to even more. You know what I mean? It's like you're in the club.
Yes, you are. And
there are people who are waiting outside and there's a bouncer that's never going to let them in and you're inside.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did we worked our asses off to be here. You and you and I, like, and I'm talking specifically, like, we never fucking stopped.
No.
We never doubted what we wanted in this business, which is basically to be national headliners.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted all the TV and all the movies and all that shit, but that was only so I could sell more tickets.
Yeah.
Because
stand-up
comedy was what I really wanted.
Oh, yeah. Everything that I try to do on the side is with the goal of, like, I just want more people to come to the live show.
Yes.
Everything
always.
I do is please come see the live show. All I the joy in my life is live performance.
Yeah. And I think you're like me. You never stopped
thinking
that. You never were like, well, I guess I shouldn't really go to this open mic because I don't know what it's going to be. No, we fucking have, like,
yes,
we've been in the trenches for a while.
Yeah. And it's like, there's always growth that can come. There's like, you do shows that feel shitty, but get something out of it. It's making you stronger. Wild experiences. I mean, we have literally been on a show where we were interrupted by a mariachi band.
That is so I'll never forget that one.
I mean,
at a sports bar in Marina Del Rey.
Yeah, an Eagles bar, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah, it was an Eagles bar.
Which explains the vengeance of a man who got crowd work and was pissed off about it, left and came back with a I don't know where on earth he found a mariachi band.
No idea.
And I mean, it was one of the most fun. I don't remember most of my shows in LA. That will both haunt me and bring me joy.
It was baffling because he was annoyed that the show was happening. You were the headliner. I was on, like, I think right before you.
Oh my God. And you just went up and you were singing. You were just going wild, which is what you have to do in shows like that. And I was this is great. This is what we should all be doing.
I took an approach very early on, especially at bar shows, where I was like, if you don't want to pay attention to me, I will force you to pay attention to me because I'm not going to come up here and die for like with my jokes. I will do whatever I can to make sure that I'm breaking I used to say to myself, if I'm at a show where everyone's bombing because no one's paying attention, especially, I would say to myself, what would Rory Scovel do? That was always my thing. What would Rory Scovel do? And I took that very early on of he would find a way to have the most fun ever for himself so that everyone else was forced to be pulled into it. And
I
you
love that.
Escape. And I still think about that.
WWRSD.
That's it. And if you think about that, then you are going to just have a great time up there even when nobody else is. And I have learned how to relish in the fact that
you have to sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes nothing you do is going to get this crowd going.
Right.
Whether it's because it's a bar show, they didn't want there to be a show. Sometimes you're on a lineup where it's like, well, that's not a person I recognize, so I don't care.
Yep.
And you're like, all right. Or, I mean, there have been times, and so I know a lot of comedians will blame the crowd when it's like, was it the crowd? But sometimes there are times now where I've accepted, I can tell from the beginning, where it's like, you're... If it's like a showcase lineup, like, you guys for some reason fundamentally have decided I'm not your cup of tea. And then I'm like, I'm just going to lean in.
Well, and that's a beautiful place to get to, is you care so much that you realize not caring is the strongest thing you can do in that moment.
Is letting go.
Is just let it all go. Fucking let it fly. And I think however this guy left the bar, came back 10 minutes later with a full mariachi band.
Full mariachi band.
It's just like, it's so baffling in every sense.
Like, how much did he pay them for them to leave their job at a Mexican restaurant and walk down the street to a sports bar?
Right. Right. I mean, I wish I could kiss that guy on the fucking mouth and just be like, you have no idea we're still talking about this.
Yeah, the
gift
I hope
you're still talking
us.
About it, dude.
I hope he is. He's like, I got him.
Yeah.
That was the highlight of his life.
They were getting $10 to do something ahoy. What's that place? It's like, it's
yeah,
not
what
Chips
was it
Ahoy.
Called?
It's something ahoy, though,
is it,
I think.
Is it Chips Ahoy? Did they call it that? But it's Chips.
It's something like that.
Something. Comedy Ahoy is just what they called it.
Comedy Ahoy was the name of the show. Yes. Sports Harbor.
Oh.
Sports
Harbor.
Oh,
I was like, oh yeah, the bar had nothing to do with Ahoy. Other than, I guess it was a
harbor.
Harbor.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Ahoy! Fuck. Okay, so you have a special coming out.
Yes, I do. March 18th.
March 18th. Is it what, YouTube? Where are we?
So, no, I did not go to the... I've done the YouTube route before. Okay. I have a special on YouTube. Honestly, it... I don't have a big enough following on YouTube, and every day when I had a YouTube special, I would like check the numbers. I'm like, oh good, 9 more people watched it. Like,
so stressed about that when I put mine on YouTube. Oh god,
you got to turn that part of your brain off. You'll do it for the first few days, and then you got to just stop.
Just let it go.
You have to, and eventually it will just stop because you'll have other things going on in your life.
Yeah,
but it's so
can't.
Important in that moment.
It feels like an emergency. Yeah,
but you know the tough part is also at this point because of the rise of YouTube specials. Which is great. It also means when you look at these things on like Instagram of like comedian discovery, here are all the specials coming out this month. You're like, oh, there's 56 specials.
Yeah,
coming
is
out
anything special anymore
this month? Oh my god! And I tried to make this one special, so I gave it. You know, I shot it, and then we gave it to Comedy Dynamics to distribute. So it's going to be out the first 90 days on Google or on Google Play, Amazon, Apple. 90-day transactional window to buy or rent it, and then a wide release after that. For anyone who didn't pick it up in that first 90 days.
Okay, awesome.
And that's essentially so we can make our money back to try to, because there will be a good number of people who will be willing to pay $5 to rent it
or
whatever. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing to like, you put so much into these things and then you know, you have about a couple weeks after it comes out that you can feel the joy of it again.
And then no matter what, it's gonna, the nature of the beast. You just go, okay, what's next?
Yeah. And I mean, I've spent the whole last, the thing is, I'm a person who, when I shoot a special, I pretty much stop doing the material. Like when I, like,
once you've shot it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had two albums and one like special and then like a half an hour special. And then this was my first like hour special.
But God, mine too.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Look at us doing it. We're on the same grid.
We are.
I feel like I will only make the jokes better if I keep doing them. And
then
I will be upset
at
what I put out.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So there were a couple of my favorites that I was like, I'm going to keep this one. I'm going to keep this one. And especially now when I'm on the road, like there are some that I'm like, well, I really just want to do this one because it's fun for me and I like it. But for the most part, I stopped doing all of it.
Good for you.
And because of that, I have like another really good 45 already built.
I love
by
that.
By the time this one drops, that if you come see me on the road right now, you're not getting the shit that you just watched.
Yeah, that's what's like. I'm building mine, and while it's in editing, I've been like slowly putting in new stuff, but doing like some of it that like sort of Frankensteining, and I am like, ooh, okay, we're coming up to the line where I probably need to have this all be different shit, but that's putting a new fire under my ass.
It definitely does. And also, we think about it more than the audience thinks about it. There are definitely bits that they're like, no, why didn't you do that bit?
I love it so much. It's dead, but like people, if they like you, they're excited when you do. Especially if they brought someone who's never seen you, like, oh, this one's good. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
So I try not to get too hung up on like, it's fine if I do a bit a couple people have seen.
Definitely. It's totally fine.
But it is like helping me. Because I don't know about you, leading up, it's like doing the material so much and tweaking it and refining it when it would come to me, or just getting in the habit of memorizing the order I wanted to do it in, or knowing I wanted to hit all these jokes. By the time I recorded it, I was actually like, I fucking don't want to do these jokes anymore. I'm ready to do new stuff.
Yeah, especially mine, because so much of it is about my cancer and things like that, that I was like, I really don't want to live in this space anymore, because I have done so much work to climb out of that space.
Yeah.
And especially, like, I'm doing a couple bits right now that involve the cancer stuff, but it's not what's on the special, and I have to get through this zone where people still want to, like, I'm like, so I don't have to, I had cancer, I beat it, don't worry about it, and they're still like, yeah, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they want it to be the whole thing.
Get it out of you, and then, like, let's keep moving, because, like, it's hard to talk about, and because people just, like, you can't glaze over, I had cancer, it's fine, you know?
Yeah, they go, like, no, tell us your survival story.
They want to hear it, and that's what this special is like, look, if you want my, like, this is somewhat motivational, it's still super silly and dark and weird and all of the other things that I consider myself, but there is a lot of my positivity in there where I'm like, all right, guys, here comes cancer stuff. Like,
yay.
And so it's because I had to do it for myself.
You had to get that out of you. You had to turn it into something.
Yep. I very much had to, and this is what it turned into, and I'm super proud of it, and I really hope people watch it. And I hope it's one of those weird things where, like, I hope the clips that come out that are promoting it make you go, I want to watch the rest of this. Because there's so many callbacks and so many things that I can't, so many bits
that
are so
blur.
Yes, I can't clip a 7-minute bit.
No.
Like, into, like, I can't, oh, just take the best 30 seconds of it. What?
Yeah. It's like, that does no justice. It could stand on its own as its own thing, but you don't even understand the context of why it's so great.
Right. And I am a big picture guy. Yeah. I always have been. Like, you got, like, I don't, it's very hard for me to work in 30-second chunks, even though I'm very punchline heavy.
Yeah.
I still, people are like, but what are you talking about if I just take a center punchline?
Yep, I get it.
So, yeah, March 18th, you know, the easiest way to find it, I say, is just to follow me.
Yeah.
Is because I'll be posting nonstop. My email, getting people to join your email list is like...
My migraine's coming back. That you mentioned that I am... well, that's why I'm just putting mine out on my punch-up first.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm going to do 3 weeks and then move it over to YouTube. But because to see a full thing on there... It's still free, but they have to put their email in. You get their email.
Oh, that's good.
And their zip code. So, like, I'm hoping to get people who would love to see me live, but they haven't taken the step to, like, do... You guys almost certainly cannot hear that someone is doing construction somewhere in my apartment.
There's a tiny little hammer.
There's, like, a... It does sound like the tiniest hammer on earth. There's a tiny mouse stuck in the wall. God, let me out! Yeah. I'm just like, okay, if I can... Even if it means eating a certain number of views that I would have gotten on YouTube to get those email addresses, it's like, at the end of the day, all of this is promotional material for you to come to the live show.
That's all I want. Yeah, that's everything. That's why I spent the money on this special to go. It's like, and honestly, I didn't really have that much money, but my wife was like, Alex, it's a lot better for you to spend it on this than for it to just sit in your bank account and watch it deplete more
and
more.
Yeah, over, like,
more.
Little tiny things. It's like, okay, I did the same thing. I was like, okay, last year I, with the little bit of savings I have very gratefully managed to stack up doing comedy. Like, the fact that I went from, like, I could survive doing comedy, like, I'm slowly building a savings, which I promptly spent on the whole special. Last year, I was like, we're investing in ourselves this year.
Yeah.
We're going to figure out the social media. We're going to make a special. And, like, we just have to hope it pays off.
And that's the positivity in me, where literally...
It can't not.
It crushes me to be so positive sometimes, but I wake up and I'm like, today's the day. Everything turns around.
Yes.
And it's just like, all my dreams come true. And
I'm exactly where I need to be.
Yup. Like, everything happens for me, not to me. All of those things that I can't. So when I was down in Peru, I had the shaman, and he didn't speak any English, right? He spoke no English whatsoever. Ooh. But when I first met him, I'm with the psychologist that does speak English and him. And she asked him, what do you see in Alex? And this is what he said. He's never met me before. He has not heard a word I've said because he doesn't
I'm putting this
English.
Behind my punch up.
Yeah, for sure. So he said, I see a man who has come very, very close to death, and he holds demons and carries them with him everywhere he goes. But inside, there is this tiny glimmer of hope that refuses to die and is desperately trying to infuse itself into the rest of him. And I looked at him and I was like, what?
I'm not even on in the ayahuasca yet. Why am I crying?
What's happening? Like, and it was just such a weird, I was like, how? You just pinned me down so fucking hard. Like,
you're like, in 1 second.
Yeah. And that was the point where I said, I was like the psychologist was like, you need to trust us. And I was like, oh, I do.
Yeah. I do now. If I didn't before.
I trust you. And they trusted me. And that's why they kept giving me more and more of the medicine and like higher doses.
You?
They were giving me like, so it started as like a shot glass. And by the end of the week, I was taking like a rocks glass of it.
God,
I was taking, an obscene amount by most people's standards.
Is there a come down from ayahuasca?
There's an afterglow.
wow.
There's not a, it's not a come down. It's a, you wake up the next day just like, cause I've got a golden ticket.
Okay. That's how I feel about like mushrooms. It's yeah. like, I'm like.
Good psychedelics. No crash. Afterglow.
Yeah. 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 And it sets me up for quite a while. A few months of like, mm-hmm. I'm back, baby. I'm whole. I'm happy.
Yeah. The integration period, there's the honeymoon phase. And then you have to figure out a way to stick with that.
You have to have like
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, system. But that's me. I'm the glimmer of hope. I am the shining positivity and I can't turn it off no matter what the fuck I do. You can give me cancer. You can put me in the hospital for 33 days with sepsis. You can give me a miscarriage. You can make my dad die. You can kill my dog. You can do all of these terrible things all in a 4-month window. And I'm still going to wake up and go, but it's a beautiful day in Los Angeles, isn't it?
That
psychotic
is, I was going to say inspiring, but psychotic also. Honestly, let me ask you this before we go.
Yeah.
Do you think it helps being in a sunshiny place? Do you think you could still be as positive if you were in like Portland?
No. So I legitimately, the reason I've never wanted to live in New York is because of how dense and crowded and dark it can be.
That's what made me choose Los Angeles.
Yeah. I am envious of the amount of spots they get to
do. The grind. I like the energy, that energy of it.
Oh yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
I grew up from like sixth grade through high school in Alaska, and the level of darkness, I mean, makes New York look sunshiny, but I'm like, I cannot be in that and thrive.
Yeah. No, I always wanted to live in California. I always did. And I got myself here and I have built a life here and a career here. And yeah, Los Angeles has a lot to do with the reason. Because, I mean, you know, you walk outside, you're like, am I really going to feel like shit today?
Yeah, it's almost like the sky shames you. Like, oh, are you going to be sad? You sad boy? When I'm here working my ass off, the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
Look what I've done.
No, I'm like, my emoji is that sun that has the stars coming out of its eyes. Like,
I love that.
I'm the sun and the moon and everything in between. Just light up my universe.
Yay. All right. One more time. Where can people follow you?
Okay. My hoopercomedy.com. Sign up for my email list.
Do it.
That's the best thing you can do. At Hooper Hairpuff on all social media. And then, yeah, the special will come out March 18th. But I have two albums that are available right now on Spotify or wherever, Apple Music, wherever you listen to stuff.
Yeah.
And then a half an hour documentary special from London where I do a bunch of sets running around London and just having a blast.
I love that.
Yeah. Like somebody described it as Anthony Bourdain if they were a comedian. And I was like, oh, cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's like a travel log but you get a bunch of my stand up in between from different clubs.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm doing it. Like we're doing it.
We're doing it. We are living our dream.
Yeah. In many ways we are.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got to take another Excedrin.
Celsius time.
Bye, idiots.
Well, there you go, idiots. That concludes this week's episode of Ignorance is Blessed. If you want to hear any bonus portions of any episode, head over to punchup.live/JMS to hear and or watch those. If you have questions, comments, concerns on anything myself or a guest said, you can voice them over in the Facebook group. It's called Idiots. Find it at facebook.com/JMS Comedy. It's linked right there on my page. You can also suggest guests, interact with other fans of the show. It's a good time. Come on by. Also, if you haven't yet, please, please, please leave a rating and a review for the podcast. It helps me out big time. And if you like this guest, make sure you go follow them on all their social media. Okay, well, I guess I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for thanks for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.